Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour two of Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I'm Tiki Barber. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. You can stream us on radio.com. That's also where our podcasts reside, radio.com. Just search for Tiki and Tierney on Twitter. Want to reach out to us and chat about anything that we're chatting about on that online social media medium. Get us at Tiki and Tierney. Tony Boselli, former Jaguars All-Pro tackle, is going to join us now. He's also the Jaguars radio analyst to do our Tiki and Tierney training camp two-a-days to preview the Jacksonville Jaguars.
It's time for the Tiki and Tierney NFL training camp two-a-days as we visit all 32 NFL camps to preview the upcoming season.
Jacksonville Jaguars, 5-11, last in the AFC South. Doug Marrone is back as head coach, but there is a change at quarterback. Former Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles is in. Blake Bortles is out.
It's a really special moment in my career and in my life to have a franchise like this believe in me and make me the franchise quarterback. And fortunately, throughout my career, I've learned so much about who I am as a person and a player to where, you know, I'm just going to be myself.
The brash defense got a dose of humility last year. Leader Jalen Ramsey now seems to want to do his talking on the field rather than off it. Can Foles, Fournette, Ramsey, and that stacked defense get the Jaguars back into the playoffs?
Joined now on the show by Tony Boselli, offensive tackle, five-time Pro Bowler, three-time first-team All-Pro, one of the greats at the offensive line position in the National Football League, particularly and especially with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tony, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Good, Tiki. What's up, man?
All is well. First question I got to ask you is about Nick Foles. What's his presence felt like as the head of this Jacksonville Jaguars offense? And I guess really, by extension of the team, what's he been like?
Well, I think it was so, it ended so poorly last year with Blake. And listen, it was probably the best thing for Blake to get out of here.
Yeah.
And I think everyone lost confidence. The fans, obviously. You know, I think we lost the locker room a little bit just from the performance. It wasn't very good. And so Nick Foles comes in. You know, he has some credibility. Just, you know, won a Super Bowl MVP. And he's a much more natural quarterback, natural thrower of the football than Blake. You know, Blake's more of that athlete, gritty guy, going to scramble, going to fight you. Isn't going to be very pretty. And I think, you know, Nick comes in and, you know, has the cachet of the Super Bowl and the MVP, but also throws a nice ball. He's accurate, you know. And I think that alone has given this team a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
And, I think the defensive guys – are like, okay, now we have some confidence that this offense can carry their weight. And I think it's good. Big thing is, can they stay healthy?
Yeah.
And who's going to score touchdowns for them? I think we're all asking the question. It's great having Nick Foles, but who's going to score touchdowns in offense?
Yeah, that's exactly right. But before we get to the position players, because you're right, Marquise Lee is coming back, and Dede Westbrook. Like, there's guys there, names that you'll recognize, but are they actually top-end NFL talent is another question. John DeFilippo, though, is the offensive coordinator. He's new there as well. Obviously, I think there is a familiarity with Nick Foles. Is this offense going to look markedly different, or is there going to be still a lot of handing the ball off to Leonard Fournette if he stays healthy and, you know, pounding the ball that way and play action pass? What's the offense going to look like?
Well, you know, John DeFilippo was the quarterback coach with Foles when he won the Super Bowl in Philly. So they're very familiar with each other. And I think, you know, he knows what Nick is, and I think he's going to devise an offense that kind of fits, you know, Nick. You know, Nick's not going to run it, but you'll still see some RPO stuff in there. Much like what they did in Philly, and I think what he tried to do a little bit in Minnesota with Kirk Cousins. but you're not. It's not going to be the 13 personnel, 21 personnel. Let's run the ball 75% of the time. You know, only pass when we have to. And that was the feeling. I'm exaggerating, obviously, but that was the feeling we got with Nathaniel Hackett and Blake Bortles. That combination, I think, it's going to be. They're going to try to spread the ball around. They're going to try to get vertical. They want to throw the ball quite a bit to the backs of the backfield. We've seen a lot of women from that in training camp of catching the ball and design routes to get him involved in the passing game, which is much different. So you're going to see a little bit of a more wide-open attack than you've seen in the past.
Yeah, and I think that'll be good for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're gonna attempt to get a better connection with Tony Boselli here, doing our Tiki and Tierney training camp two-a-days on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Obviously, we all know how the Jaguars played most of the last couple of seasons with Blake Bortles. You got to run the ball. Leonard Fournette, T.J. Yeldon, who is no longer with the team, and there was some, bad acting going on by those two, and he got the ire of Coach Coughlin at the end of the season. And hopefully Leonard Fournette gets his act right. Again, joined by Tony Boselli here, Tiki and Tierney training camp two-a-days on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let me shift to your obviously expertise, Tony. This offensive line, Cam Robinson still got to grow a little bit. What's the line going to look like? Because obviously, if you're going to run the ball and you're going to have a quarterback who's going to drop back and throw it as Nick is capable of doing, they got to protect him. What's the line situation looking like down in Jacksonville?
Well, I don't know if you saw last night, but the two tackles struggled.
Yep.
The two backups, because Cam Robinson just got off the PUP list last week because of his ACL last season. So I think you'll start seeing him some team activities this week, maybe some reps in the third preseason game. And then Juwan Taylor, the second round pick they got out of Florida, who they were expecting to be the starting right tackle, banged his knee up in Baltimore when they were practicing with them last week.
Yeah.
So you had two backups. They got Cedric Obuehi, who was the first rounder a couple years ago in Cincinnati. Cincinnati cut him. He came here. He struggled last night against Brandon Graham playing left tackle. And then they got a kid they brought up from Tampa as a free agent, a kid named Leonard Wester, who really struggled. I mean, Nick Foles didn't play, thankfully, last night because he got killed.
You don't sound like you're not giving us an optimistic game plan here. I mean, the expectation is that the Jaguars are going to be somewhat back. I'm not hearing that offensively.
Well, what I'm trying to tell you is that they have the pieces.
Yeah.
But they better get them healthy.
Yeah, I hear you.
And we haven't seen it yet because Doug Marrone changed his philosophy 100%, 180-degree change, where none of the starters are playing in the preseason so far.
Wow.
Now, supposedly they're playing next week. And so all you get is what you see in practice. And then when you're talking up front, I think their first group is pretty talented as an offensive line. But you have two tackles, one a rookie who's beat up already,
mm-hmm.
another who's a third-year player coming off an ACL and is going to practice for the first time with the team this week. So that's concerning a little bit. You know, you're hoping if they are who you think they are as far as the performance and the talent, I like the inside. Brandon Linder is an outstanding center. Really good job. I mean, I like him there. I like the guards around him. But the two tackles, you need to get them healthy because what we saw last night in the preseason, like most teams, I mean, come on, Tiki,
yep.
this. I mean, there's only so many big people on this planet Earth that can move and block defensive ends.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And every team is thin at that position.
Yeah.
And if you lose your starters, then you start having to game plan and chip and do different things, and it'll tie your hands a little bit as an offensive coordinator. So if they're healthy, I like the offensive line. I like them a lot.
But if not, then Leonard Fournette's going to be chipping a lot and staying in the backfield.
Yes, even though
you know what I mean.
Those days, remember when you said, okay, you're not allowed to leave until you put your helmet on?
Yes, exactly. At least influence him. It was like influence him. You don't necessarily have to hit him because he might try to take you on as opposed to your left tackle, but at least there so he feels you a little bit. And then
and
of course they would grab me and throw me around because I was 205 pounds. Tony Boselli here, Tiki and Tierney training camp two-a-days of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Obviously, we know that breakfast, lunch, and dinner for this Jaguars team is made on the defensive side of the ball. Yannick Ngakoue had a little bit of a holdout. It kind of feels like nothing because he came back after a week and a half or 2 weeks. Where is there a status update with him and his contract? And Do you feel like it's going to be a continuing issue, or just was something to make an example at the beginning of the offseason, or preseason, I should say?
No, he wants to get paid, and I think he came back only because if he didn't come back before August 6th, then he would have lost his free. He wouldn't have been a free agent at the end of the year. Something with the CBA.
Yeah, you're right.
And so he had to get back. Otherwise, he wasn't going to be a free agent at the end of this year. He's due to make $2 million this year. He was a third-round pick. He wildly outperformed his contract. He's a really good pass rusher. He's just okay against the run. But he can rush the passer, and he wants to be paid like a the top guys. He wants $21 million a year.
Wow.
And the report was the Jags said, we're not going to pay you $21 million. We'll pay you, $18.5, $19 a year. And he said no.
Wow.
And so he came to camp, and the last I heard is that the deal's off the table, and Yannick says, I'm not going to take it anyways, and I'm going to play for $2 million. So he's rolling the dice this year. You talk about having faith in yourself and your ability, but also trusting that you're not going to get hurt in a very physical sport. So he's going to play before the $2 million unless something crazy changes between the two sides. But I'll give Yannick credit. He's a pro. He works hard. He's all about his craft, and he has a lot of personal pride. So I think, if anything, he's going to come out and try to even prove a point in a bigger way. And he's a very talented guy when it comes to rushing the passer. And they need that. I mean, they got Josh Allen in the seventh overall pick out of Kentucky with 17 sacks last year. Good player. So they're going to have those two guys off the end. And then inside, they got Marcell Dareus and Calais Campbell. And so they have a really strong front four. This defense, outside of the Will linebacker, where there's some question marks because the rookie third rounder who they were expecting to start because Telvin Smith suddenly retired.
What was behind that, by the way?
No idea.
Yeah.
To this day, I have no idea. I just don't think the guy wanted to play football anymore.
I mean, it happens. It does. I mean, usually you wait till you have a little bit of success and make some money before you do it. But, hey, it is what it is.
Well, I mean, I guess. I mean, he was due to make like 9.7 this year. I mean, I could fall in love with a lot of things for $9.7 million.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. It's only 18 weeks.
Thinking all these guys, when they're put, until they retire, they don't realize how much money it is they're actually making.
That's right.
Football.
That's right. And when it's gone, it's hard to make it again. Right?
You're not making
more than two or so million. You got to be like really balling.
Exactly right. The defense is really good. The front end, I mean, that the first 11.
Yeah. And we
really
expect
good.
That though. We expect.
Yeah, they're going to be top notch.
Let me ask you this question though before I let you go, Tony. We're talking to Tony Boselli, training camp two-a-days here on the Jacksonville Jaguars with Tiki and Tierney. Eventually, a lot of these guys are going to want to get paid, right? Jalen Ramsey,
you know
what I mean? A.J. Boye, he's already, even though he is kind of already paid. Like, are they going to be able to keep this together? Because it feels like this window for defensive dominance, it's really, really small. You know what I mean? It's not like three or four years small. It's like maybe one or two years small.
If you don't have a quarterback, it's hard to sustain winning in this league because too many guys want to get paid.
Yes.
And rightfully so. I wanted to get paid. Yep. I wanted to get paid. And I think it's one of the reasons, like, they're looking at Yannick and they're saying, we can pay you up to this much because we have to pay Jalen next year.
Yep.
And Jalen is going to be the highest paid corner in the league because he's the best corner in the league. You're like, we got to pay him. Miles Jack, the middle linebacker, who's going to be up after this year, depending on what he does this year, you're almost like hoping he just has a good year, not a great year.
Yes.
Because if he has a great year, like, well, we can't afford him anymore.
Think about how messed up that is. You know what I mean? Like, you want your great players to be, like, average. Still good, but just average, so we don't have to break you off, you know?
If you're too good, then we can't afford you. But they're going to have a hard time. I mean, I can't see them, and I think it's one of the reasons they got Josh Allen, because they know if they have him on a rookie deal and if they can't sign Yannick, then, it's not the end of the world. But I think it's hard to keep – I think it's going to be hard to keep Miles Jack, Yannick Ngakoue, and Jalen Ramsey and pay them all next year. I mean, I think it would be difficult. And then you have to prioritize. And they're all really good players, man. I mean, that's the tough thing about – the NFL with a salary cap. It's different than any other league, really, because you have to make those hard decisions when you're building up a young team, especially when you're building defense, like you said, and when your team is built around the defense and not around the quarterback, I think the window is smaller.
Yeah, I think you're right. Tony, I appreciate you. We're getting a little late here. Good luck throughout the season. Hopefully we talk to you down the line, and it'll be interesting watching this team. It really will, for a lot of different reasons.
If they stay healthy and they get the production we think they will out of Nick Foles, we'll be back in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you're right. Tony, appreciate you.
Cheers,
Tony Boselli, former Jaguars All-Pro, one of the greats. Every time we talk to him, we talk about the Hall of Fame. He should be in. He had a short career-ish career, but he was unbelievable. I didn't want to frustrate him. Tiki and Tierney's Training Camp Two-A-Days continues in our next segment. We'll preview the Washington Redskins, Joe Theismann. Their All-Pro quarterback, one of the greats in their history, will join us to talk about the Redskins. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki Barber, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, doing our Tiki and Tierney Training Camp Two-A-Days, joined now on the phone by Joe Theismann, our good buddy of the show, who's going to help us preview the Washington Redskins.
It's time for the Tiki and Tierney NFL Training Camp Two-A-Days as we visit all 32 NFL camps to preview the upcoming season.
Washington Redskins, 7-9, third in the NFC East. The Skins' high expectations came crashing down after Alex Smith suffered a gruesome leg injury. The team then drafted Dwayne Haskins in the first round, and hopes are high for the former Buckeye.
He's just a big, solid, fundamentally sound guy, man. He also has the ability to speed it up, and he has great touch as well. He's displayed that he can make all the throws, the deep ball throws, the 20-yard dagger-type throws where you have to line it, and then the touch throws, the anticipation-type throws.
Washington is building from the inside out, drafting a front seven player in the first round for the third consecutive year. Can the Skins surprise the rest of the East this season, or are they still a few years away?
Joined now by my buddy Joe Theismann. How you doing, Joe? How's the summer treating you?
Everything's good. How about you? Playing a little bit of golf. Listening to you on the radio.
Yeah, you can't complain about that. My wife will drive by and say hello. We're driving through Virginia down to North Carolina this weekend. She's heading down now.
Great.
So I think she's going through Maryland/Virginia right now. So
she's probably stuck in traffic right now. So
exactly.
She's probably listening to us. Matter of fact, you and I will be finished probably, and then she'll have another 2.5 hours in traffic.
Exactly.
It's a Friday afternoon.
No,
she wrote me near Washington.
She wrote me as like, this is miserable. I'm like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm flying down, but it's okay.
I'm being kind, yeah. My wife does the same thing. She drives down to her home in Florida, and I said, you know, 7.5 hours. Why don't you listen? I'll meet you there.
Exactly. All right, Joe. Last time we talked to you, I think we talked about Alex Smith and the injury, which is so similar to yours. And I mean, I hate to even think about his career being over, but it seemingly is going to be that way. But they draft Dwayne Haskins, and you allowed him to wear your number, and then he goes and plays it first preseason game. You're like, maybe you should give it back. But he redeemed himself last night.
We don't get refunds.
Yeah, exactly. When you look at Dwayne and his, I guess, the progress that he made from one week to the next, that's encouraging, right? And does he have a chance to win the starting job?
I'll answer your second question first. No. I think he's just inexperienced.
Yeah.
Physically, he throws the ball extremely well. All the things in that clip you heard Jay talk about is exactly the way I would describe him. He has the ability to put it on a line. He throws it down the field very well. Made a very nice throw last night. Still processing the calls up front, how to direct protections, where you want to go with the football if it's not open initially. So there's that. I keep using the word, there's that process that you go through, especially for a guy who's a pure drop-back passer. Now, he's run a few times, but you're not going to confuse him with Lamar Jackson when it comes to breaking the pocket. I mean, and this is where Dwayne, and actually, it's good discipline for him, and I think it will accelerate his learning curve because guys that can run tend to take off in a hurry. We had Robert Griffin III here, and Robert was that way. Robert's great running ability allowed him to take off and run. In Dwayne's case, it's going to be learning to operate from the pocket from day one, which he has. and he continues to improve, and that's the important thing.
Yeah, it is, and but it's also it's they're in a weird situation, the Washington Redskins, and I wonder if they have a plan, right? Because you get Dwayne Haskins here, if he doesn't win the starting job, then he's lost for a year or so. But they're built to win now. I mean, they have talent offensively. They've done, at least if they can hang on to their Williams or left tackle, who's having this issue. We'll ask you about that a little bit later. Their defense is solid right now. Like, what's the plan for the Washington Redskins?
Well, I don't think it's a lost year. Would you say that Patrick Mahomes sitting behind Alex Smith in Kansas City was a lost year?
No, I don't, but I think Pat Mahomes could have played his first year. You know what I mean? You saw it in the preseason.
Maybe.
You know what
I mean? He seemed ready. Well, he does now.
Yeah.
But what kind of success would he have had?
That's a good question.
Had he not had a chance to understand, and how do you study? How do you look at? There's a difference between watching film and studying film.
Yeah.
And all the time that Dwayne's going to spend around Case Keenum and Colt McCoy, and you look at the quarterback room, Tim Rattay, quarterback coach.
Yeah, he's a good
Kevin
one.
Kevin O'Connell, offensive coordinator. Jay Gruden, everybody's a quarterback. almost everybody on offense is a quarterback.
Yeah, that's what helped Carson Wentz, right, in Philly, with Frank Reich and Peterson.
Exactly, and I think that's the case I think we have here in Washington. I think there is a plan. The plan is to, if Dwayne has to play through injury, then we live with it. Right now, I believe Case is going to be the starter. He seems very comfortable in the offense. Colt is still a question mark, so
yeah.
What's going to happen? Jay's usually only carried two anyway.
Yep.
So there's a plan. And when you talk about this football team being built to win now, the defensive line, no one is older than 25 years old.
It's crazy.
I mean, and here these are some stats.
But they're good. They're impactful. You know what I mean?
Well, they're Alabama football players. What do you expect?
Alabama North.
I mean, you know, we start five guys from Alabama. I mean, we could probably win the SEC, to be honest with you. If something happened, you know, we could do a pretty good job there. Although, you know, the kid Lawrence out of Clemson is pretty damn good, so I don't know. It's pretty tough. But I think that our football team will be one that can run the football with Adrian Peterson. Darius Geis hasn't played yet.
Yeah.
So the backfield seems solid. Jordan Reed hasn't played. He's a big part of what we do on offense, as many tight ends are and have become in this league. Very essential to the offenses that are run. And why the secondary, I think, is solid as can be.
Yep.
Two question marks remain, and you brought up one, the offensive line, and the other one, wide receiver. Who's going to be the person that steps up? I love Kelvin Harmon from North Carolina State, the wide receiver.
Interesting. Sixth-round pick, right?
He is, and I'm telling you something, that's a steal. And Terry McLaurin hasn't got on the field yet, or the kid out of Ohio State who played with Dwayne.
Yep. No.
And we have Montez Sweat, who, you know, looks like he'll fill the shoes of what Preston Smith was a year ago. But I think you're right. We're very young. We're building in a very, very solid way. 27 of the 28 draft choices since 2017 are on this roster.
Yeah, and that's a telling sign.
In camp, I could say. So the young guys, and I expect probably most of them to make this football team this year as well. I mean, the football team is built to be young, and I think they got to look to the future.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you.
That's what I was. So, yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Joe Theismann, former Redskins All-Pro quarterback, joining us here for Tiki and Tierney Training Camp Do-A-Days. Joe, to the best of your ability, can you tell us what's going on with Trent Williams? Obviously, he's a great, great player, but this is getting baffling because it's not about money. It seems to be about health and the training staff. What can you tell us?
I think it's personal between Trent and the organization.
Yeah.
That much has, I guess, become rather obvious because he's not here.
Yeah.
But, you know, first of all, people talk about Trent because he's a seven-time Pro Bowler and a terrific football player.
Mm-hmm.
Don't discount that one bit. The Redskins have a losing record with Trent on the field.
Yeah.
Okay? He has 2 years remaining on a contract. Currently, he's the sixth highest paid offensive lineman in football. 3 years ago, he was the highest paid offensive lineman in football. He's averaged in the last 5 years 12 games a year. And evidently he claims to have a problem with the medical staff. He's not going to play for Bruce Allen, and he's going to walk away from $12 million. That's the way I analyze the situation right now. And it's not it's ugly.
Yeah,
that's another way of looking at it. But I mean, you start talking about $12 million. You don't make that back up as an offensive.
No, you never do. You never
and
do.
You still and Teak, you still have 2 years left on the contract.
You're right. Is it affecting the team though at all?
In
not at all.
No. You and I both know. We both played the game.
Yeah.
Don't think that you're not expendable.
Yeah.
Everybody's expendable, and the game's all about money.
You're right. Turn the drill around. You know how it works. Turn the drill around.
That's right. He may be mad as heck at him, but they gave him the amount of money he wants. I promise he'd be in.
Yeah, no, I think you're probably.
I'm thinking. I don't know for sure, but
no,
I'm thinking.
You're probably right, because money solves all problems, whether it's health or being pissed off at somebody or whatever.
Yeah, Dallas is going through their money issues.
Yeah, you're right, and they got a reckoning coming their way. Joe Theismann.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with how much Jerry can spread around.
Yeah, Joe Theismann, former Washington Redskins quarterback, joining us here at Teak and Tierney training camp 2-a-days. Last question for you. You looked at the division. You just mentioned the Cowboys. Where is this team? What's the expectation? Are they competing for the division, or are they building? Where are we with the Washington Redskins? Because when you look at the fan base, it's still rabid, right? They still love this team, but the delivery hasn't been there consistently. Where is the patience level in Washington?
I think the fan base has gotten tired. They want to see. They need to see something. I think that's part of the reason why they drafted Dwayne.
Yeah.
Instead of bringing in different people, Robert got hurt his second and third year here, so we really never got a chance to see what Robert Griffin III could do. There was a lot of excitement around him. Dwayne's a different kind of a quarterback. He's not going to light up the world with his feet. He's not going to. You don't have a Kyler Murray. You don't have the brashness of a Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
It's a great question. We could very well win the division.
Yeah.
I don't know how good Philadelphia is going to be. We anticipate they'll be pretty good, but they went through struggle. Can Carson Wentz stay healthy?
Mm-hmm.
The Giants, they're going through a transformation. You know that.
Yep.
It's become a young football team.
That's right.
They could be dangerous. Dallas, you don't know what pieces are going to be on the field.
Yeah. If Zeke's not there, it's a different team.
How well will the quarterback position play?
Yeah. You're right.
So every team has a. Here's the one thing about this division, and I say this in honor of you. Probably the best running back group in every division in the National Football League.
I think you're right.
You got Howard in Philadelphia.
Yep, and Miles Sanders, who's looked good.
Right, and then Zeke in Dallas, and we have Adrian and Darius here.
Yeah, you're right, and we got Saquon. So you're right. It's a good point. Joe, I always appreciate you hopping on, talking about the Redskins, giving us some insights. Always colorful, and I appreciate you, my friend.
Always good catching up with you, T. Take care.
Be good. Joe Theismann, all-pro quarterback, one of the legends down in Washington, Teak and Tierney training camp 2-a-days. We previewed the Skins. It'd be interesting to see where they go. I'm confused about them. They're the one I can't get a beat on. All right, here we come on the other side of the break. One UFC superstar has been landing some punches, but they're outside the octagon. What does it mean for his future? We'll get to it next. Very appropriate song, D-Cell. Very appropriate. Bad Boy. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network, 855-212-4227 is our phone number. You can get us at Tiki and Tierney on Twitter. Sirius Channel 206, radio.com is our stream. And also our podcasts. All these good things happen here at CBS, including Big 3 Basketball. Big 3 Basketball this weekend wraps up its regular season with teams fighting for playoff positioning. And then on Sunday, it's NFL preseason action with the Saints at the Chargers. It all happens on CBS. So D-Cell specifically chose that P. Diddy or Puffy or Diddy, I don't even remember what he was at that time, song because of one Conor McGregor. Now, Conor is the man, right? I remember we had him here when he first broke, came into the scene, and it was, he was loud. He was like obnoxious. He was always moving. He told us his walk-in song, and it was like the Foggy Dew. And we're like, what the heck is that? It's like, that's Sinead O'Connor song or something. And then we listened to it, and like, oh, wow, this guy is dark. This guy's got some issues. Well, he definitely's got some issues. He's got a lot of cash in his pocket. We all know he fought Money Mayweather, made approximately / reportedly or allegedly, $100 million and started doing whatever he wanted to do, like breaking into buses. We saw that before one of the UFC weekends and caused a lawsuit that cost them millions of dollars, slapping phones out of fans' hands. And he's a little off the wall, man. He is what he is. But what he's done of late is actually kind of businessmanlike, and you kind of could commend him. He started a whiskey company called Proper Number 12, and it's doing really, really, really well. In fact, I know one of the guys that does some of his sales in the United States, and I still haven't tasted it yet. But I wish I was in a bar in Dublin, the Marble Arch Pub in Dublin, because I would have got some free Proper Number 12. Back in April, this is actually the day before my birthday, so I definitely should have been there. April 6th at the Marble Arch Pub in Dublin, Ireland, Conor McGregor walks in, starts talking to whoever. Guess he knows a couple of the guys. Then he grabs some glasses and puts them on the table. And if you're watching us on the network, you can see it here. It's courtesy of our friends at TMZ Sports. And I encourage you to go look at this at tmzsports.com. Because he gets a little bit nutty here. Now, it's a bunch of old dudes, man. It's like old heads. They've been probably going to this pub since they were like 17 years old. Probably like 14 years old they've been going to this pub. They're now like in their 60s, and they have their routines, and they sit and they chat. And they're like, yeah, the wife does this, the wife does that. You know, I don't want to go to work today, you know. And then Conor McGregor walks in, looking all tight in his schmedium. Got his big beard, you know, grabbing Proper Number 12 and passing it out to guys. And one dude is like, nah, I'm good. Pushes the glass away. Like, yeah, I don't need that. I only drink pints of Guinness. I don't want your Proper Number. I don't drink whiskey. It makes me crazy. I don't know what he said. Maybe he said it tastes like arse. Who knows? I don't need that. You know what? Right? This is Dublin, Ireland. These guys don't care. I mean, maybe they're impressed by Conor McGregor, but they're probably not impressed by Conor McGregor. And they certainly don't want his whiskey. And this one guy just kind of turns his head, and then Conor just tees off on him. I mean, drills him with a left. You know what? It was more interesting than Conor drilling him with the left. Is it not only did nobody else move, kind of just like, eh, okay, whatever. Okay, whatever. The dude just kind of took it. Didn't even respond. He just, oh, okay, I got just drilled in the head by one of the great UFC fighters of all time. And it's okay. At least he left his whiskey. Maybe I'll take it home. Maybe I'll, you know, get some ice and stick it on my head and drink his whiskey with my other hand. UFC president Dana White was on with our own Jim Rome last week. Early this week. It was yesterday. I think I heard this when I was in studio. Was on with Jim Rome, Dana White, talking about his former star. I guess he's still a star, but talking about Conor McGregor.
When you deal with fighters, you know, guys who fight for a living, there's always something. There, you know, if you look at some of the greatest, Tyson. I mean, if you look at what Tyson went through at his peak, every time you take a guy who is a professional fighter and you sprinkle a ton of money on top of it, get ready. Get ready for a disaster. Literally a disaster.
And he's right. Again, that was Dana White with our own Jim Rome here. Get ready for anything. You know, you worry, and I hate to say it because you hate to make excuses for people. Fighters, boxers like Tyson and, you know, MMA fighters and that are in the UFC and others, I mean, they get beat up, banged around. We talk about repeated head trauma and concussions and CTE and all this stuff in the NFL. How do these guys not have that? They clearly do. And one of the side effects of having this repeated trauma is you don't make rational decisions. Like, you can't control your emotions sometimes. And so you fly off the cuff and fly off the handle, and you punch a 65-year-old dude in the head because he doesn't want to take your whiskey. I get it, and I hear Dana White. He's got to make this excuse. He's got to say this. I think I heard Dana yesterday. I saw talking about how much it's going to cost him. He's like, yeah, look, when he threw the chair into the tour bus, it cost him millions of dollars. How many millions is this going to cost him? I mean, maybe this Irish pub goer won't matter. Maybe this has happened to him before. Who knows? He might not try to sue him for millions of dollars, but it's likely he will. If any of his friends are lawyers, he's going to sue Conor McGregor. But you wonder at what point in UFC's dealings with Conor McGregor does all of this become too much? Right? When does it become bad for business? Or does it become bad for business? And it's interesting, like when I think about this, this isn't like a league, right? The UFC is different than the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball, where it's, you know, all of these, you know, units that are kind of part of one, and it's, you're worried about the collective image, and so you penalize guys for smoking marijuana, you penalize guys that have domestic violence issues, you penalize all this stuff because one or an individual or a team doing bad things affects the whole. And UFC, which is a promotion, right? It's not a league, it's a promotion. And each fighter is an individual business. I don't think this is detrimental to the bottom line. I don't. And it's a shame to think of it that way, because it allows a Conor McGregor to get away with whatever the hell he wants to do. He can walk into a pub and assault another man, like legitimately assault him. And that punch looked like it hurt. That dude must have been a boxer himself or a fighter himself, because he didn't flinch. Just turned his head. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that one. But the UFC, they're not going to penalize Conor. Heck, the UFC has Greg Hardy as one of their fighters. And Greg Hardy, as a heavyweight, if he keeps having the success that he's had over his first three fights, or four fights, I should say, he's 3-1. And the only reason he's 3-1 is because he got disqualified for an illegal knee to the head. He would have won that fight as well. It's almost not bad for business to have knuckleheads, which is interesting. I don't know if it makes me like the sport or be scared of the sport. Yes, D-Cell.
I guess my question is, Teak, if Dana White came out tomorrow and said Conor McGregor is going to fight whoever next month, and, you know, I think both me and you are the casual UFC fans. We're not diehards.
Definitely.
Would it move the needle for you at all to know that Conor McGregor has an upcoming fight, regardless of what belt it was for? But
I think it would depend on who he's fighting or what was at stake. But almost no, because, you know, like, I think about it for a second, the answer is no. Because sometimes I feel like with fighters, it's like you're rooting for them to make it or become a champion so they can, like, be financially, you know what I mean? Like, they've done it. They've achieved. They're here. They got it. They did it. Congrats. Conor's like, I mean, he's with play money right now. He's on yachts, doing crazy things, starting whiskey companies. I mean, is he even training right now? I don't know. Yes, again, D-Cell.
So then I guess off of that, because I agree with you, does Conor need the UFC, or does the UFC need Conor more?
I think...
Or do they not both just not need each other?
Well, I think the UFC needs Conor more than Conor needs the UFC. Even though if Conor stopped fighting, where would he be? Like, what would be his reason? Right, everybody has a reason for doing stuff. I know he's got a family now, so maybe it's that. Maybe the business keeps growing. Maybe he expands it and goes into other things. But Conor's got a personality that's just, like, you're always going to recognize it. And when Conor's 60 years old, he's still going to be interesting. He might be senile and crazy, but I think he's still going to be interesting. Whether or not he's with the UFC or not, or doing something else. The question is he going to keep doing ridiculous things like this and keep getting sued? I'll be interested. This is it's a great video. not in a good way. It's a great video in a bad way. Just sucker punches a dude. TMZSports.com. Go check it out. Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, both got into preseason action last night. I'll give you some evaluations coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.